So our first speaker is Dr. Peter Yates, or as he's known to most of us, Pete. And I think Pete is going to try to put into context this whole NOS situation for us, amongst other things. So
yeah.
Thanks.
12 years ago, thereabouts, I was one of the people that was instrumental in starting the Independent Yoga Network. One of the impetus there was an attempt to institute a national occupational standard for a yoga teacher, and it was pretty dire what was being proposed. And I think I would have been against it, even if it was quite sensible, which it wasn't. And I would have been against it because I think the business of yoga and the way we, as the yoga community, disseminate that further into the world is the business of yogis. And it's not the business of the government, and it's certainly not the business of the fitness industry. And it seemed that, in my way of looking at things, that what was being attempted was a corporate rip-off, put it in such blunt, hippie terms. So anyway, the National Occupational Standard, the first time round, didn't materialise. It was being put together by the British Wheel in conjunction with Skills Active. Most of the rest of the yoga community didn't get wind of it till it was almost a fait accompli. Then there was a small amount of consultation, and then the thing disappeared from view. We now know with hindsight that it disappeared from view because the British Wheel simply dipped out. They just evaporated, and presumably they were getting quite a lot of heat by then and complaints, and the consultation process was revealing that there was quite a lot of people who think the way that I do about the place of yoga in society. So that's how I'm kind of sitting here now, 12 years down the line, and I'm the secretary of the Independent Yoga Network. I'm the kind of person that doesn't really join organisations. You know, I was a trade unionist for a bit. But basically, I kind of have a bit of a highly individualistic suspicion of organisations. So I think some of that might have stamped itself on the Independent Yoga Network, which does attempt, at least we try our best, not to get into the authoritarian traps that I think some other organisations get into. And that to my mind, is a feature of organisations per se. It's because we've tried quite hard there to. And I'd say that the aim of the Independent Yoga Network, one of the aims, and a very basic aim, is to be able to reassure the public about the authenticity and the safety and the rootedness in practice of yoga teachers, and to be able to offer that reassurance to the public in a way that doesn't make too many onerous demands on teachers, doesn't tell them whether they've got to be Shaivite or Buddhist or whatever, you know. So we attempt to be a broad church, and we attempt again not to make it too difficult for decent teachers to kind of get going, and to have some bona fide that comes about from the organisation as a whole. So basically, if you're an IOM teacher, we the whole organisation is vouching for you to the public. That's one of the things that we try to do. I think we do a good job because I keep hearing this stuff about dangerous teachers. And in 12 years, the IOM has never had a single complaint of an injury-style complaint. We've had some complaints, to be sure. We've, I think, had about 4 complaints about money. As you know, training schools, sometimes somebody leaves a training and they want their money back and there's a bit of a spat about that. That's the kind of things that we've dealt with maybe 4 times. But on this issue of safety and dangerous teachers, I'm sorry, I don't see it, and I don't see any need for any further reassurance to the public than the one that we're giving. I think we have a proof of concept in the IYN. So I'm not wanting to paste another layer of bureaucracy on what we do ask of teachers, you know, which is to give an account of themselves and to promise to take their duty of care very seriously and to be practised. I mean, the thing that I kind of don't hear sufficiently enough is that you can teach yoga if you're practised, if you're not practiced, you can have read as many books as you like and you get nowhere. You could be illiterate and teach yoga really well. Good teaching comes from practice, ultimately. And of course, that is one of our key things that we insist on. So, NOS has been attempted before and it got kicked into touch. And I'm not surprised that it popped its head up again. I mean, the champion of the NOS the first time round was the current chair of the British Wheel. And he's kind of resurrected it. It seemed like maybe there's a personal ambition there to finally pull it off, as it were. All right, so that great holistic detective, Dirk Gently, says, everything is connected. Indra's net, if you like, but you know, Dirk Gently's pretty clued up kind of a guy. And I think that's a yogic insight into the nature of the world. Everything is connected. So what I wanted to do in the next 10 or 15 minutes is outline just some of the connections. I'm not going to outline all of the connections, but what seem to me to be the key connections in this scenario, so we can take a bigger look. And I want to do that under the rubrics of the economy, economics and politics, which come together, and also in the light of the cultural context as well, so that you kind of know what we're dealing with. Now, I've sent out a diagram. I'm not going to try and tease out the details of this diagram now. It's really there as an aid memoir, or if you want to do further research, you could follow some of this stuff through. But basically what we're dealing with is a governmental corporate cabal. And I don't know, if you've got a slightly anarchic bent like me and you follow global politics, you'll know that in the developed world, governments and corporations are pretty well enmeshed with each other. And our government is no exception. But usually you hear about this in the light of high finance and the relationship between Goldman Sachs and the European Central Bank, or the Treasury in the US and so on, or the relationship between Halliburton and the Pentagon, all this big stuff. When you look down here at, was it active leisure and learning and well-being, you don't expect to find it, but actually there it is, you know, a massive tangle of corporations, the government, and the British Wheel of Yoga, in their wisdom, have got yoga pretty well entangled in that cabal. And I suppose people say, well, why are you so grumpy about it? It's not going to make any difference. NOS will come and people will ignore it. Well, I am a bit mad at the British Wheel for actually just doing this behind everybody's back. I'd perhaps feel a little bit differently about it if I'd had a phone call or an email from Skills Active or from the British Wheel saying, we're considering doing a NOS. You're the secretary of a pretty, by now, quite large yoga organisation. Would you like to have a pre-meeting to figure out whether this is a good idea or not? And this is precisely what we didn't get. First we hear of it is a photo on Facebook of the chair of the British Wheel sitting with the manager, whatever, the standards manager at Skills Active, saying that it's going to happen. So we make some inquiries and they say, okay, we'll let you know. We'll send you the details. And what we get is like a timetable, minutely detailed, right the way through to July next year, when the NOS will be accomplished and will have been through the various stages of consultation and so forth. So that I object to. They did that off their own bat. That, to my mind, is imperious behaviour, which is inexcusable. We're stakeholders. What they're attempting to do will affect us, and I feel that responsibility, because we've got 50 schools, 50 training schools, that expect their representatives, you know, the board of the IYN, the directors of the IYN, to defend their interest in this respect. So that's kind of, if people say, well, you're being un-yogic by being mad at the British Wheel, well, I'm sorry, they've kind of behaved in an imperious and unforgivable manner. And they know that I think that because they've had the complaint, you know, we've made a formal complaint to the Wheel to that extent. And to my mind, that calls into doubt the legitimacy of the entire project. Now, at this point, the British will, yoga lodge professionals have stated that they're against it. And they're big, they're about twice, three times the size of the IOM. The IOM has said they're against it. Yoga Scotland has said they're against it. National Council of Hindu Temples are against it. And yet they're still, as far as we know at the moment, still trying to push it through. Now, without the consent, something that's going to have an influence on all of our livelihoods and our vocation and the things that we've dedicated our lives to, some of us, it strikes me that it's entirely illegitimate to proceed without a good level of consent. I don't think even the consent of a majority is needed. You know, if there is a large minority does not consent to this thing that's going to influence their lives, it's not legitimate. The whole thing actually is illegitimate by any normal understanding of legitimacy. I suppose I should mention as well, also I'm concerned about practicalities. If NOS goes through, what will happen is that people who are not as bloody-minded as some of us will feel that even though they don't like it and they don't want an extra layer of bureaucracy, but nevertheless they won't have any credibility and kudos without getting it. So they will reluctantly then go jumping through hoops to get the thing. Now, we're not sure exactly how this will pan out, but there's no way that a training school, for instance, could apply for NOS and then go through the rigmarole of getting it without it involving some expense and without it involving some people actually doing that bureaucratic task of working out whether heart yoga is congruent with NOS or not. So there's going to be a bureaucratic tax on schools, and it will come at a financial cost as well. So when that happens, I always think it's a bit of a pity that people won't dig their heels in and oppose it and say, well, no, we'll make our own way. And I wish that had happened last time, you know, but my experience of the last NOS and the ambivalence of yoga schools and yoga teachers around reps and so forth was that it's quite hard to rouse everybody to actually oppose it with a high degree of solidarity. This time round, it looks a little bit different. The internet's come further on, so we're able to exchange information a bit more efficiently. And I think some people have kind of, in the interim, got used to their freedom, you know, and being able to just get on and do it. I think there's another thing that worries me about it is, I'll say, the cultural context. And I think the trouble with this NOS is it's going to colour the public perception of what yoga is, which has already been pretty well shifted towards the idea that it's an exotic aerobics, you know. And I do think we have an educational task as a community on really putting that right. Yoga is, as far as I can see, a personal spiritual practice performed by individuals, very often in the context of their religious observances. And that should be determining what its place is within the legal framework of United Kingdom law and culture. And not this confusion that it's some kind of a fitness regime. Now, it's on the back of that confusion that the British Wheel of Yoga has been awarded title governing body of Sport England governing body for yoga, and I believe it's on that basis that they now think they are legitimising pushing forward this NOS. They say, well, we're the governing body, so we can push it forward. The truth about that title, that governing body title, is that it comes from Sport England, and it is actually what is called in law a non-protected term. That means there is no what's the word? It's got no legal weight. In fact, Sport England themselves even say that. If you find the relevant quote, I'll give it you, so you can get that out of your mind once and for all.
I think it means anyone could use it, doesn't it, Pete?
Well, technically anybody could, a protected term is a term that you have to meet certain criteria to use in law. Let me have a look. Anyway, the upshot is that it doesn't contain any legal weight. It doesn't even give any kind of informal. I don't know, any informal kudos at all, even. In fact, you know, Sport England say, well, it just actually is just there because it recognises an established situation in which a particular body is naturally evolving to taking a kind of a lead within a particular sport. So it's got no legal weight and it's got no meaning, and there's no defence for the imperious behaviour that I've just outlined by saying, oh, well, we're the governing body. It's not a defence, and Sport England themselves say that it's not a defence. Now, the basis of that recognition, governing body recognition, is that the yoga fits into the criterion for something being a sport that Sport England use. If you speak to Sport England and you say, well, yoga's not a sport, they say, we don't actually define sport. Now, you're a body called Sport England that disposes of $500 million a year of public money that is not willing to define sport, even though sport is in its title. And so you say, well, okay, well, where are you getting your definitions from? Well, they get their definition from a thing called the European Sports Charter. The European Sports Charter is put together by the Council of Europe, and this has nothing to do with Brexit. The Council of Europe predates the Economic Union. And if you read that, it's very, very vague, actually. I mean, and it's on the basis of physical activity that Sport England thinks they can include yoga in what they're up to. And it's on the back of that that the British World of Yoga has got themselves ensconced in all this kind of in the cabal, which is what my diagram's about. The cash cow in all this is Sport England. As I say, it's having a lot of public money, which it's now currently throwing at sports coaching. They have a 5-year plan for sports coaching. So look out for a sports coach brackets yoga. I'll tell you, there's already a sports coach brackets counselling, and people I know in counselling and psychotherapy are pretty disgusted by that. It's jobs for the boys, you know. I mean, you should bear in mind that the big corporations are standing by the goalposts, which is what they do, isn't it? This whole cabal relates to the government through its lobbying wing, which is called, it's now called UK Active, it used to be called the Fitness Industry Association. And the government's quite keen on working with those because they think we're all getting too fat. And if they can get us active, that can save money on the NHS. I mean, this is policy, you know, and fair enough. You know, maybe we could deal with running around the block a few times. But if you look at the people, the players in UK Active, well, Asda, Walmart, you know, what do you think they're playing at there? Coca-Cola, UK, those paragons of health promotion. Yeah. So, honestly, I sound like a conspiracy theorist. Look into it yourselves and you find that this is basically a corporate rip-off, you know. And NOS is a linchpin in it. Because what NOS will do, it will be the passport to reps or KIMPSA when they bring in their register. It will be a passport to jobs in the fitness industry. And I think that yoga teachers should be able to work anywhere without jumping through hoops for these people who are attempting to control something they know nothing about and are not equipped to know about. So by standing in the way of NOS, we will knock out one of the linchpins. I mean, the next thing that I think we urgently need to do as a community is to stop Sport England regarding yoga as a sport. And it's in their brief. If it's not in Sport England's brief, it won't be in the brief of Skills Active or Reps or KIMSA or any of these people, because it's Sport England determining this whole movement towards a corporate takeover of yoga. So, how long have I been going? Far too long. Now, what else? Oh yeah, the future. I mean, I think, context. There's a little bit of cultural, economic and political context. I also wanted to think history and the future. And what have I put in? I think whether NOS happens or not, whether we certainly know it's a bit of a crossroads. And we really need to be working hard as a community to build the culture, to build the yoga culture that's going to mesh with the indigenous culture, if I can call it that, and to build the yoga community in all its diversity, with all our differences. This is the IYN, again, this was another part of our brief, was to bring together huge diversity. And I think if the yogis can't rub along together with the amount of diversity that we've got, then there's no hope for anybody else, to be honest. And I think, again, we have some fights now and then. They're usually quite entertaining. But basically, I think we've done a good job. And so, I mean, what I want to see in that future culture, I want to see the altruism of the yoga teachers whose CVs come across my desk, basically. And they're an amazing bunch of people. They're very varied. They're very varied. They're very well educated as a rule, and often have done well in other areas of life as well. And just an altruism and a care for humanity, you know. And I think that, again, if we can focus that energy as a community in a rough direction into the future, that we're a force to be reckoned with and a force for good. And I think all this, the extra layers of bureaucracy, worries about arbitrary notions of credibility, they're all just standing in the way. So whether they get NOS or not, I'm saying to the yoga community, you know, let's build regardless. This, you know, we're in a destructive phase at the moment of having to sweep some crap out the way. But there's also the creative phase, and let's get to it either way, whatever happens. So that's what I've got to say there.